God of love and power, we know that you are with us and you are for us. Break through into our lives and into your church. Break through our fears and replace them with faith. You are the God who breaks down every barrier, and we trust that your Spirit will break through in us, in our lives, in the life of our church, and in our community. Fill us with the grace, mercy, and power of Jesus. Help us to discern where your Spirit is leading. Open doors that lead us into a new season of faithfulness and fruitfulness for your kingdom. Give us faith and courage to step through the doors that you open. Amen. Welcome to Concordia this morning. I'd like to invite all the members and if we have any visitors to sign the guest book on the pew and pass it to the center aisle. We'd appreciate that. After a week of weather that we've had, I'm glad to see the turnout this morning. I appreciate you being here. There are a few announcements I'd like to lift up this morning. The second Sunday donations will be collected next Sunday, and we'll go to the Sauk Prairie Food Pantry. Please remember your donation items next Sunday. Place them in the blue bin that is located in the Galena Street entrance. Let's see if we can fill that bin next Sunday. And on Tuesday, February 12th, we have the UMW Cleaning the Kitchen. We are looking for several volunteers to help with our annual Cleaning the Kitchen. And it begins at 9:30 a.m. on February 12th, and we'll have a list of tasks that we'd like to accomplish to get our annual spring cleaning done. Any time that you can share would be appreciated. And, of course, if they have several people there, the project can easily be completed. And after that, on the same day, February 12th at 1 p.m., there's a UMW board meeting. Please note the time change of this meeting since we will be meeting after the kitchen cleaning in the morning. Then on February 17th, immediately following the worship service, we have a birthday bash for Gordon Davis, celebrating his 90th birthday, and he has invited all to attend. Oops. Then on February 27th, we have the barbecue and bunko night at Concordia from 5:30 to 7 p.m. Sign up in Fellowship Hall. All ages are welcome, and no experience playing is necessary to join in the fun. Sponsored by the Nurture Committee and CYF. If you would turn in your black hymnals, please, to number 2130. Join me in the summons. God is calling each one of us.
Lord, help us to hear your call.
If you answer the summons, your life will be totally changed. There is so much blindness in our world.
Lord, help us give sight to those whose sight is impaired.
People may not understand and may ridicule us.
Lord, give us courage and strength to withstand ridicule and
we come with willing hearts today to learn how to fulfill the promises given to the people. And if you would remain standing and turn to page 191 in the red hymnals, Jesus Loves Me.
Thank you.
God, in the midst of the voices that crush our spirit and deny our calling, words that say, "Who do you think you are?" We come to hear your voice, confirmation. We come to hear your voice calling us to be and do what you have called us to be and do. Let this time of worship quiet our fears, soothe our bruised souls, and energize us for ministry in and with your beloved world. Let faith abide, let hope abide, let love abide. Hear this prayer, hear in our community, and hear in our world, most of all, hear in us. You may be seated.
Pastor and I talked earlier in the week. We said, well, maybe we'll get children here on Sunday, depending upon the weather. And I'm glad to see some here. But I told her that I had a real story that I thought would be applicable to children of all ages. I'll let you agree. How many of you have ever pretended? Have you ever pretended? What did you pretend? To fly. That's something I think we all, when we see the eagles and so forth, we think, have you ever pretended to be like a Spider-Man or one of those characters that, you know, that you talk about? See, in my day, we didn't have those. I pretended to be Roy Rogers, which dates me. But as children, we like to pretend. And I don't think that it stops with being a child. I think sometimes as adults, we pretend. But let me share something with you. This is what the dictionary says. To pretend is to behave so as to make it appear that something is the case when in fact it is not. To pretend is to play a part or create an imaginary image. And that's what we do, don't we? We create that imaginary image. And even, I think, sometimes as adults, maybe it's during the Olympics, we say, gosh, that figure skater is good, but I think, you know, in my mind, if I had just practiced, maybe I could be that good. So we kind of project that image. Well, there's another part that I want to talk about, and that's being a pretend Christian. And I'm sure you've never heard of a pretend Christian. This is not a part-time Christian, you know, people that show up on Christmas and Easter, that's another story. But a pretend Christian is somebody that, like on Sunday morning, they go to Sunday school and they learn about being kind. And then you go to school or you go to work and we're not really kind to somebody that's not kind to us. Maybe they do something naughty on the playground, or maybe at work, you know, they do something that we just don't agree with and we're not kind. Maybe even in Sunday school, they talk about, you know, you always want to tell the truth. You always want to be truthful and honest. And at your age, I think that's a lot easier sometimes than when you get older. But maybe you say, well, it was a little fib, just a little fib. Let's see, we didn't be a Christian outside of Sunday school. And so we have to keep that in mind, is that once we're in Sunday school and we learn about what it is to be a Christian, we want to continue that on outside. Okay? I'm sure a lot of you can relate to that, at least I hope so. And there's some of you that probably would like to hear me play. Boy, would I ever agree with you. I can't play a lick. The story is when I was a teenager, I too pretended. See, I grew up with Paul McCartney, Jimi Hendrix. Loved those people. And I thought, you know, I wonder. So my father, who was a musician early in his life, gave me this guitar. But about the same time, I became interested in cars and drag racing. So, to let you know that sometimes when you pretend, it kind of goes in a different direction. And I ended up painting my father's guitar. So, let that be a lesson to you. When you pretend, don't always think it's going to turn out the way you think it is, because sometimes it goes another direction. But always, always remember what you learn in Sunday school, try to take it, and don't be a pretender out there, okay? Thank you for sharing that with me. Thank you.
You say that you painted your dad's guitar?
That's the one.
Well, my brother and I painted a chicken once. And then we called it Old Paint for the day that it lived.
I won't ask what you were pretending.
Our first scripture reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians, verse 13, chapter 1 through 13. And this is leading up to Christ talking about being a disciple, being leadership, being a teacher, and so forth. If I speak in tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way, it is not irritable or resentful, and it does not rejoice in wrongdoings, but rejoices in the truth. It hears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. And when I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. And the second reading this morning comes from Luke, chapter 4, verse 21 through 30. And leading up to this, Jesus comes to Nazareth, and he is in the synagogue, and he read from a scroll. And immediately after reading from the scroll, he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to note of them, except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elijah, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. So reading the gospel.
If you were here last Sunday, you will remember that what precedes this reading from the gospel today is that Jesus read from Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then Jesus said what we had heard at the beginning, "This has been fulfilled in your hearing today." And he sat down. In other tellings of this passage, it is suggested that the antagonism that the people in the synagogue expressed began when they said, "This is Jesus' son." Get a different version of that in this. And we see how quickly though people moved from being amazed when he sat down, every eye was upon him. He had their rapt attention, to driving him out to the edge of the town to throw him over the cliff. What happened in here? What happened in between? It was actually Jesus who was the antagonizer. Maybe he was offended that they called him the hometown boy. Maybe he was reacting against his upbringing in Nazareth. We don't know. But he puts forth this teaching that is counter to the prevailing wisdom about God in that congregation. The prevailing wisdom is that they were the chosen people, and God was with them, and God would help them whenever they needed that. But Jesus reminds them of the story from their history about Elijah. There was a drought in Israel. Everyone was suffering. And it would have been predictable for God to have sent, heard their prayers and sent rain to them. Jesus tried to get the people to understand that God is not predictable. God sent the prophet Elijah, not to the people of Israel, but to that widow woman in Sidon. She was a foreigner. That's what Jesus is reminding them of. She wasn't one of them. And that widow took the last of her food and shared it with Elijah. The result was that her food kept being replenished. They had all they wanted to eat. And at a later point, when the son got sick and died, Elijah raised him to life. The people of Israel were hungry. And God didn't go to them. God went to those who were seen as outsiders. God went to those who were excluded from being God's chosen people. God is a God of surprises. God does do things that are unpredictable. I don't know if you've noticed, but grace is one of those unpredictable things. The way God reaches out to us and welcomes us. So, what were the expectations of Jesus for the people in Nazareth? Was they had heard about him being in Capernaum. So did they hear that he healed people? Did he hear that he was able to feed people and care for people? That he was preaching and prophesying to them? It's that when Jesus spoke about including that woman from Sidon that they got angry about. And Jesus' antagonism toward them was met with antagonism. Now that's not so unusual, is it? If someone approaches you, and usually it's the people that we love the most, our spouses and our children, someone approaches you and says something that gets your ire up a little bit, how often do you respond back with ire? And anger. So these Jewish people were being very normal in their response. They were not able to hear that God was doing something new. They were not able to take it into their mental processes that God wasn't just, that they weren't just God's chosen, but those who had been considered outsiders were now being included. Jesus said it. A prophet's not welcome in his own town, so they ran him out of town to the crest of the hill and were ready to throw him off. They couldn't accept that Jesus was embodying who God is. He wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just a teacher. He was God. I'm guessing that if I stood here and made the same claims that Jesus did, you might run me to the river and throw me in, and I can't swim, so that would take care of me. They weren't used to God being present with them. Very often God was far away, especially when they found themselves in times of trouble. God was not, they did not understand that God was there suffering with them. That was a whole new notion. When faced with new ideas of who God is and what God's love means, I think that we very often respond in a way that's similar to the way the people in Nazareth responded. Like the people, the religious people of Jesus' time, We, the religious people of our time, do the same. We are fighting over whether the United Methodist Church is fighting over whether we are going to include LGBTQIA people. And this issue is threatening to divide us. I do believe that which has been made primary to whether we're going to stay or leave is a secondary issue. Jesus said so much more about feeding the hungry, about giving sight to the blind, about releasing the prisoners, setting the oppressed free. Jesus spoke so much more about that, and he believed it so much that he quoted the earlier scripture. And I think that that is what we would be judged on. Not human sexuality. With all the hatred and violence that we hear day by day, one cannot help but ask, where is the love? Where is God present in this? Where is Christ? Now more than ever, we need to be shining the light of Christ on those who are in darkness. We need to be focusing on the issues that were important to Jesus. How can a church accomplish its mission if it is divided against itself? I think that we can learn from Paul. Debates, arguments were ripping the church at Corinth to pieces. In particular, it was that some spiritual gifts were deemed more important than the others. And Paul reminded them that the most important quality missing in that family of faith was love. The tendency for those disputes that were arising were secondary issues. And when we are faced with so much energy going to those secondary issues, we have to stop and talk about that which is primary. And what is primary is the love of God. Now, we get confused about love because whenever there's like seven words in the Greek, the gospel that came to the New Testament that came to us in the Greek, there's seven words for love. And I won't impress you with my pronouncing them all this morning. Frankly, I don't remember them all right now, but I remember what they translate to. And we understand the love between a life partner. We understand love for our children. It's different. We understand love for our friends. We understand the love the deep love of fried morel mushrooms. Some people shake their heads no. But we've only got one word for it, and it's love. The Greeks had seven words, but the one that's important to us today is the word agape. Agape is the love that God has for God's creation. And we may begin our lives, a married life, with erotic love. But it needs to also at some point encompass the agape love of God. And we love our children and we dote on our children. And boy, some of us have the smartest, wittiest, the most gifted children on the earth. And some of us have grandchildren like that. But mixed with that, and maybe taking over that, is the love of God for every person. The love of God, which honors and respects and acknowledges the dignity that every one of us are born with. That is primary. The disagreement also had to do with how the Corinthians were using their God-given gifts, gift or gifts. Some of us, God gives one. Some of us get a couple of them. But they're God-given, and that means that they are to be used for God's kingdom. And there were people there who were using their gifts for their self-aggrandizement. So that people would go, wow! And Paul reminds us that we can be Superman, and we may be able to fly over tall buildings. But if we're doing it just so that people will go, wow, then we're using it wrong. We're using it selfishly. And we gain nothing. To follow Christ's example, we must use our gifts in the spirit of love for the lifting up of others. Because love is more than the way we look on the world. It is the way that we live in the world. Love, agape love, shows itself in enduring kindness toward others, a zeal for wanting truth. When we are children, we can make wild boasts about our abilities. But when we're adults, we humbly wait for perfect truth to be made known to us. It's in our love. It's in the way we relate in the world that love triumphs over arrogance. It is as we walk with humility and respect for all, even those who we think don't deserve it, that we imitate Christ. as we seek to proclaim the good news. Our actions must speak as loudly as our words, because there are so many people who need faith. And there are so many people who need hope greater than these. There are so many people who need to find love. Amen. No one got up and walked out. We're good, huh? We've been called to speak and to live in the radical, abiding love of God in the world. And so we offer all that we do, all that we are, and all that we have, knowing that God will use our gifts to bring love into the world. I invite the ushers to come and receive our offerings. Pray together. Gracious and loving God, receive our gifts of self. They have belonged to you since our very beginning. We give them freely, joyfully, prayerfully. With them we praise you. With them we celebrate the great power that is love, a love that abides always, a love that radically transforms, a love that makes us whole. Amen. You may be seated. Dennis Paskes has a sister, Christine, who arrested a couple times this week. Not was arrested. Her heart arrested two times this week. And so she is in the hospital and has other health issues. She also has emphysema. So they would like prayers for Christine. Are there other people or situations? Let us pray. God of all goodness, we live in times of stress and controversy, injustice and cruelty, and at times we cry for you to rescue us. And remember that we have leaned on you since our birth. Today we pray for the leaders in the United Methodist Church, that we would seek justice and peace. We pray that we may be the love that you want us to be. We pray for those who are trapped in natural disaster or violence in their countries, violence in their homes, that you would grant your healing and your peace. We pray for those who are ill and suffering, for those who need the comfort of your love, and especially we pray for Christine this day and her family. We pray for all of those who are born today and all of those who will die today, that their lives will and have been governed by loving choices. Gracious God, in you resides all hope and peace and justice. Your love has been poured out on us and all creation from the beginning of time. Teach us again your great message of hope. Let us know that you are with us through this time. Give us courage to be faithful disciples by loving service and the care that we give to others. Remind us that whatever the issue today, we do know only in part. And even now, faith, hope, and love abide. The greatest of these is love. Love was born and lived and died in Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against me. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Will you turn to hymn number 635, because thou hast said. Jesus. Jesus loves us all. After our debates and our wordy proclamations, after finger-pointing and Bible-bashing, after flowing tears and broken hearts, after bitter decisions and shattered promises, Jesus waits for us and longs for us. Will you say, thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus opens the door, reminds us that there are no locks in the new kingdom, no deadbolts, no barred windows, just an open door, a door that Jesus holds open, an open door, and an open table. With a feast for the poor and the rich, for the brown and black, for white and yellow and red, for gay and lesbian, bisexual and transgender, for straight, or even those a little bent, a feast for all. But you can't eat the bread with a closed fist. You can't drink the cup with tight lips. Jesus offers us a helping hand. Will you say, thank you, Jesus?
Thank you.
Ready to wash our feet, ready to break the bread, only Jesus is strong enough to change hearts. Only God is gracious enough to forgive. Only the Holy Spirit moves us to inclusion. Will you say, come, Holy Spirit?
Come, Holy Spirit.
Come through the door. Will you say, all are welcome?
All are welcome.
Come to the table. Say, all are welcome.
All are welcome.
Stand together with those who are excluded. Stand with those bent over, beaten down. Stand with the forgotten and the voices not heard. We are standing with all those battered in Iraq. We are standing with the Palestinians and the Israelis. Will you say, let there be peace?
Let there be peace.
Come to the table. Open all the doors, for all are welcome. On the night of his betrayal, behind closed doors, Jesus took bread, the common food of the people everywhere, and he gave thanks to God, a bountiful creator. He tore the bread. Knowing the brokenness of the world and feeling the pain to come, and he gave it to his friends. Take, eat, and believe. This is my body given for new life, new hope, open doors. Jesus took the cup. In the same way, he gave thanks to God, offered it to his disciples, and said, take, drink, remember, and believe. Drink from this, all of you, for all are welcome to the table. My life is poured out for you, so you may be whole, forgiven, and empowered to live in my new kingdom upon earth. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his life and death and resurrection. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes again in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Come with open hands and open hearts. Whether you believe a little or a lot, come to the table. Whether you have been shunned or applauded, come to the table. Whether you are young or old, come to the table. in the United Methodist Church. The table is open to all who would come. This morning we're going to have communion at the rail, so I invite you to come, and I invite the one who's, okay, Kari, to come and help me serve this morning. Please come, receive the gifts of Christ. Bread of life, the cup of blessing. Amen. and drink, be filled with all the gifts of God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Eating the bread and drinking the cup, we receive Christ into ourselves once more. Gracious God, we give you thanks that through Jesus we are continually growing into your likeness. Amen. Would you turn to hymn number 367, He Touched Me.
Thank you.
go into this day, this week, celebrating faith, celebrating hope, celebrating love. Go to be the transformed people that God calls us to be. Go to transform the world in times of prosperity, but most especially in times of disbelief, in hostility, fear, and rejection. May the love of God help you to bear all things. May the love of Christ enable you to believe all things. And may the love of the Holy Spirit inspire you to hope all things, so that you abide in faith, hope, and love today and always. Amen.